What's up, everyone? This is the Go Long Podcast. Thank you so much for listening, watching, wherever, however you consume this show. We are eternally grateful. Jim Monas, what is happening in your world, your life? You're a jet setter, man. I'm surprised you didn't just stay out there. Why not just stay out there in Hawaii? Why come back?
Aloha, everybody. I don't know what day it is. I don't know what time it is. But I literally was just in Hawaii for 3 nights. I don't even know what to say about it. Other than it was a great experience. There, you know, obviously it was through work. You could see it on Twitter, on XFL, but definitely was... It was really cool experience. And we did a showcase at Dwayne Johnson's high school.
You're on Dwayne terms.
No, DJ. No, but anyway, he gave a great professional effort. You know, he was classy. He was really into it with all the players. And then he did something with the high school kids and Danny Garcia as well, his ex-wife, one of the other owners of the league. So they were... It's cool to be a part of it right now. It really was. It was a nice experience out there. But, man, I don't know what day it is.
Yeah, that's – we were talking earlier today. 6 hour time difference?
6 hours.
Woo. Oh, we feel and so no, bad for you, honestly. We feel hours. Terrible for you, Jim, going to, you know, drag to Hawaii.
This is where I have to stop. You're right. I mean, this is where I have to stop. Because like I said, great experience.
Yeah, but it's incredible. And to the extent that you can you explain to our listeners what exactly the XFL is doing right now? You know, whether it's there, down in Florida, the showcase events, like where is the league in terms of like the phases up to the start of the season?
No, I'm glad you brought that up because it's really been nice. But what we've done is we set up what we call showcases where we've invited – about 150 players that we, you know, kind of all our guys that work in the personnel department have kind of identified. And we also have about 150 open slots for people who want to, you know, pay to try out. So it's really been a nice mix. You get a little bit of everything. But Hawaii was fun because it, you know, just because it's Hawaii, that was our least amount of guys, but we had there was some talent there. Like it was some good stuff. And to see their high school, like to picture going to high school, like in the middle of downtown Honolulu, like it's crazy to think that that's where you grow up.
Yeah, we might need to take a go long trip out to Hawaii when the Pro Bowl's back there. Just man. You know, duty calls.
No, it was. It
sorry, definitely honey. Was a,
well, no sports gambling though. So
no gambling.
Not out there.
Ooh, I like it. Cracking down on the debauchery. I am so fascinated by the league, though. We've talked about it. I mean, obviously, you know, knowing you, a little biased, but I genuinely think everything's on the right track. I think that there's so much going for this league and not even an alternative. What do you want to call it? An alternative, a supplement? You know, just more football when there needs to be more real football with good coaching.
That's
good. Great stories. There's going to be stories to tell.
That's really what's going to be. That's where we want to get to. Like, you know, to be able to tell these, you know, people what they're doing. This is a way for them to continue to play football for their career. You know, other than if they have a full-time job or a part-time job, they do this, you know, for 6-7 months out of the year. So that's kind of the goal of it. Not everybody's going to make the NFL. They know that. We know that. But like you said, hopefully there is a market for people to extend playing football as a career.
Great TV contract.
Yeah.
Big names.
Yeah.
The biggest name behind the league in The Rock. I mean, I can't think of a bigger name than that.
No, he was into it. I mean, he was.
Is he?
It was good to see those. It's a production. I mean, you know, they're filming too. They're doing some good things. So the XFL Twitter and the XFL website. Top notch too right now. So everybody can follow all the news there. Definitely keeps everybody updated.
And if anybody else gives you guys shit about the logo and like, just send them to me. Send them to me. Send Rapioni over here. What a BS complaint. Get over
I know one thing.
You're not that important.
I don't know what happened, but that did go away, but I didn't hear anything else.
Yeah, because she's an idiot with it.
That was, we did talk about that on here. That was a reach.
Did we talk about it? Okay, I won't
rant. I don't know if we talked about it a lot, but I just thought it was a reach.
Yeah, you're being kind. So the NFL has entered the doldrums on the calendar. Not a lot happening. I think teams hope that there's not a lot happening. Right. You know, I can still remember being on the Packers beat, the Bills beat, that last day of minicamp. You'd get Mike McCarthy or Rex Ryan, what have you, at the podium. Just, you can kind of see that look like, God, I hope nobody does anything stupid the next month. Like, if you're a team, you're just hoping for no arrests, no headlines, everybody go on vacation with your families and just be in the dark until training camp.
It really is like, you just don't want to, like, because you hit this point now when you're in personnel coaching where you don't want to see anybody that you work with show up on your phone calling you, because everybody, this is everybody's time to go do what you have to do, be around whoever you need to be around, decompress, get ready. But Kiko Alonso, I always remember that call from Doug. I was at the beach.
Jog our memories on that one.
Yeah. I think it was his knee injury in the off season, just working out.
That's right. Yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying? Those are the calls. Like, you're like, when you see Doug call, like, Whaley's name popping up, I'm like, oh, this has to be.
Right. Cause there's no good news coming in that situation. That's what, like, what could possibly be the good news?
That's what I'm saying. You don't want to know. We talk enough. We see each other every day. This is get away from everybody. Like,
yeah. I mean, Ella is going to be 3. Sunny is going to be 1. And I'm already fearing teenage years when they go out with friends and that phone call comes in at a time when you don't want that phone call to come in. Like, it's probably, you know, bad to already be terrified of that moment, but it's every parent's nightmare to get a phone call like that.
You know what? I agree with you. I try not to think. It gets overwhelming when you start thinking about the few, like, everything, because we know what they're going to go through. Like, we all know what they're in for. We all know. It's almost like, good luck. I hope it works.
So I thought that, on the podcast leading up to the start of training camp. And we've got some great plans for training camp that we'll fill everybody in on when the time is right. But until then, let's look at individual players. I think last year at this time, we kind of went division by division and we had some great guests on that were awesome. I mean, I want to get Chris Sims back on. It was right around now.
That was fun. That was fun,
Chris. Yeah, I've been texting him. He's been busy with his top 40. And did you see the quarterback coach combo? Like, who'd beat the hell out of you in a back alley brawl ranking?
I didn't see that.
That I don't like rankings. That was really good. I mean, I disagreed with a lot that was on there, but it was interesting.
Who did the ranking?
Sims.
Oh, Sims did?
Yeah. Yeah. He had Mike McDaniel and Tua Tagovailoa dead last. And Tua's trainer, who I know pretty well, Nick Hicks, chimed in and said, hey, you do not know Tua. And like his people, that, and I can see that, right? That Samoan heritage.
Well, yeah.
Woo, I wouldn't want to cross Tua. I bet there's a nasty side there.
Yeah, that's usually not, toughness is anything you question.
No. I remember, Juju Smith-Schuster, you know, everybody knows him for the TikToks and, you know, all the social media, dancing on the logo. But at his core, I mean, he is a tough SOB. And his mother's side, we've talked about it at length with Juju. I mean, the Samoan heritage runs deep. Like, he wouldn't take any medication for anything ever, from youth to now. It was like holistic stuff. And playing with every injury imaginable. He played rugby, just knocked a dude out when he was a kid. I disagreed with that with Chris Sims. I think, you know, I think his Tua seems like such a nice guy in his press conferences, where he's so friendly that there's almost, I think there's a dark passenger there, to steal the Dexter term, that you don't want to mess with.
I'd have to look that list up. I can't.
I mean, I don't think he's murdering people in a vigilante way. I don't mean that. Have you watched Dexter?
Yes. So I'm just like, I think I'm episode 4 into this the new season thing.
I loved it. I thought that it's hard to end any show. I mean, it's almost an impossible proposition. But I think
first I was I'm giving it a chance. Season,
I mean, they righted the wrongs. Like, it ended horribly 10 years ago. Terrible.
It was rough. That was a rough one.
Right, with the beard and Lumberjack, but they fixed it. Now, if Game of Thrones can get around to fixing that disaster, then all will be right in the world.
Yeah, you're right.
We talked about Thrones. Are you a Thrones guy?
So I did it. I can't say. I think I did it. I definitely was intrigued, but I can't say I'm like – wasn't dying to see every episode. But
wow. Yeah, that's right. I know. You're watching your trash reality show.
Yeah. You said the key word, reality. I'm watching real people. Like, I'm not watching aliens and dragons and whatever it is.
I'm telling you, it's –
But no, I get it.
You have to let go, Jim. You gotta let go.
I watched it. So I can't say I didn't like it.
I know we're going all over the place. Like, when it comes to reading, I was always that way. Like, it has to be nonfiction. Can't get down with fiction. And my brother-in-law, who listens to the podcast religiously, Clint Depew, thank you very much for the suggestion. I said, man, I got to get into some fiction. And audiobooks are just great. Obviously, if you're mowing the lawn, doing whatever outside, driving
home.
I just want to recommend to everybody listen, The Sun by Philip Meyer. Fantastic audiobook listen.
Okay.
But a family, you know, in Texas, three generations, kind of jumps chapter to chapter, a lot of murder. You know, there's some, you know, they war with the Native Americans and they're warring with the Mexicans and befriending some of them. Some are friends, some are enemies. It's great. But to your point, you have to kind of like, whether you're watching something on TV or reading, just like let go and give in to this different.
Yeah, you got to get, I like how you said that. You got to give in. You can poke holes in everything. Like, either enjoy it. I mean, just like we talked about Dexter. I mean, you could poke so many holes in Dexter that just makes it right. So not real at all. But just have fun with it.
But that was the problem with the last season, really the last two seasons of Game of Thrones, because it sounds so stupid because to your point, there's dragons and there's just...
No, I'm a little...
But like they make you buy in. Everybody bought into that world. And then at the end, it became unrealistic. Because the characters were doing things very rapidly in their development as characters, if that makes any sense, right?
Like,
Khaleesi isn't all of a sudden going to be this tyrant in a span of two episodes when she's loving and hugging you know, champion of humanity.
But you sink yourself into it.
And then, plus you had a Starbucks cup just sitting there. Like, you pour multi-millions, billions of dollars into the show when you forget to remove the Starbucks cup.
That is one of the best. That is an underrated story. That doesn't happen.
Awful. All right. What the hell are we talking about? Yeah. All right. Players.
We went
key
on.
Key players for the 2022 season. Guys that we're not talking enough about. So last year we did a lot of team, like division by division. This year, let's talk about individual players that maybe, you know, NFL Network, ESPN, SI, the mainstream, or I don't have the time to dig into a little bit. We'll try to on this podcast. And guys, we're familiar with. So we're going to have a story up. If you haven't read it already, golongt.com. And a guy who's come up a few times on this podcast, Jim. Sammy Watkins. 2014, first round, fourth overall, correct? Traded up.
Correct.
You're the director of personnel. So you guys, you and Doug, Whaley, Doug Marone, the whole gang, select Sammy Watkins. And here he is, year nine, still playing, fifth team. And I think he really could be the difference for the Green Bay Packers. I don't think that's too hyperbolic. They need somebody at receiver to be a game changer, to stretch a defense. You've got Alan Lazard, 8 touchdowns on 40 catches last year. He's solid. He's going to block. He'll catch what's thrown to him. Christian Watson, I mean, he could be good. Second-round pick, North Dakota State. But they didn't even really throw a lot in college, and it's North Dakota State, right? I mean, to ask him to be a number one guy right now is a little much.
Right.
He could be good, but I mean, and rookie receivers for Aaron Rodgers historically don't really do anything. It's just hard to get on his level. Juwan Winfrey is the wild card. We had the story up. We're going to get him on the podcast hopefully soon. He has practiced with Aaron Rodgers for a couple of years. And, you know, he's always had something to deal with, from Maryland to getting booted to JUCO to Colorado to injuries, but to Denver. You know, who knows what happens there. But Sammy Watkins has proven, like, we've seen it. He burns Richard Sherman in the Super Bowl. You go back and you watch even some of his games with Baltimore, and as we know, Greg Roman's offense, not exactly wide receiver friendly. Lamar Jackson, not exactly a pinpoint accurate type of quarterback, you know, that's going to beat you from the pocket. He still had some moments. I mean, he's, you know, he had this catch over his shoulder against the Raiders that comes to mind. He juked out Patrick Surtain II, you know, a rookie star for Denver.
He's good too. You're right.
I think there's still some pop. There's still some athleticism. There's still something to his game. And we'll get into it here on this episode, but all that other stuff, you know, that he goes through mentally and what he's overcome.
Yeah.
How bad it got in Buffalo. The fact that he overcame all of that to get to this point, that to me is invaluable. Like, I don't know how you quantify it, but it means something to your locker room.
Yeah. It's hard for me to think about how much injuries played a part in his career and Sammy's career being what it is. I mean, it really was true. I mean, his foot was not good with us and it's never been right. He doesn't look the same to me. He looks good to me though. Like when you see him, he does look good. That one catch he didn't make, Lamar made a beautiful throw. It was a Sunday night game. Back of the, it almost, remember they questioned if he was worried about hitting the goalpost. And did he really track
that one?
Here's one thing that I used to say frustrated me with Sammy a little bit. And I'm not saying it may be due to his injury, but I never felt like he made that unbelievable wow play consistently enough. Like where you see them, like the Mike Evans and the Odells from that same draft class, where they make game changing just, and Sammy has it in him, but I think through the injuries, it's taken away his ability to really make game changing type catches with explosion in the air. If that makes sense. He was never a great leaper. Sammy wasn't like a great vertical guy coming out of college. Like his vertical was very average for a guy who could run 4.3. He's very, you know, so, but his route running was so good. His hands, I mean, if you can remember the way he just naturally would always just snatch, you know, it was so easy for him. Late hands, boom. I just love everything about him as a receiver. I think it'd be a great story for sure if he was a part of Green Bay's, you know, run to the Super Bowl.
Well, the injuries are number one.
Number one. Meant
the foot was.
The foot was, it's a really scary thing. Yeah.
But then you also have broken ribs, a hip tear, a glute injury, a hamstring, a calf, all in just Buffalo.
It adds to what your whole story was with him. Like it adds to, I mean, that's his career. You know, he's getting all these injuries. And
so I'll have the link here on the podcast wherever you listen if you missed the story, but we caught up, you know, several times over the years. Actually, the first time we met, and like me and you, we didn't really know each other that well then, but that 2015 season, the first time I met Sammy Watkins is when he demanded the ball 10 times a game in the corner of the locker room and said that, you know, you guys were making him look bad. He was looking bad. Like, why don't we make both of ourselves look good and just get me the dang ball, basically. It was great. He was honest. He was correct. Tyrod started chucking it up to him, and statistically, it's the best season of his career, 2015.
Everybody was there was a lot of people agreeing with him on that. You know,
yeah.
There wasn't like it was just unfortunate that it couldn't ever be consistent like that. But yes, he wasn't alone. Like we all wanted him to get more opportunities.
But Definitely. I didn't know. Nobody knew in the media. The fans didn't know. And even you guys didn't know.
No, we didn't know.
In the front office. I don't think the coaching staff knew. And I don't think the players knew. Is that as things were going south, he is drinking every night, partying every night on Chippewa Street, just blowing through his $12.8 million signing bonus.
Like when I tell you, weed, we talk about
getting everything. wasted, as he said.
Like the coaches know everything that's going on with all their players, players talk, whatever. I mean, we would have known something. Hey, the receiver coach, hey, he's going through something right now. Like he's really struggling with something.
Sanjay Lal.
Yeah. I mean, Sanjay was like, I mean, he's one of the better coaches. He was very like he's into his player's mental state. He's very into that. That it didn't come up. Like he did it really well.
I heard him. He was really tight with Caleb Holly.
Yeah.
On the depths of the receiver, you know, on the depth chart. So he gets to let go. And I think that didn't help.
No, it added to it. Yeah.
But and all Tyler, the drinking and the partying is what fed the injuries. It was his point. Like he'd wake up and go to practice and just, you know, blow a muscle, twist something, turn something. Yeah. And there's something to that. I mean, Rob Gronkowski in our tight ends book, people will read, you know, he had to dial back his partying. Like there's a reason you didn't see him going viral, like on the latter part of his career, because he could feel the effects of it the next day.
That's funny.
We've all been there, right? We've all been a little groggy that next day after. Well, for us, it's, you know, two glasses of whiskey now. And then we're dead to the world the next day, but. I can imagine being a professional athlete, the most violent sport on earth, trying to perform after you were just on Chippewa Street drinking your face off. What?
You know, it's crazy too. Like we know, like, I mean, a lot of the bar restaurants, like, you know, Doug and I know a lot of those guys, the owners of those places. And I mean, they would tell us when certain guys were like, not, you know, not in a bad way or anything. They just say, hey, he's here a lot or whatever. We'll see him a lot. He was acting a fool, whatever. I'm telling you, we didn't get anything about Sammy.
Well, either I don't think he would lie to me about that. Because I had a couple players tell me the same thing. I mean, Eric Wood being one of them. Like, I didn't know about that. He might have just really hit it really well.
Yeah, no, he may have.
To volunteer this information, like it's not necessarily something you'd want to just fabricate, but he, you know, led to the injuries, and it wasn't just that. Like his, I mean, he's distancing. It gets to the point of the injury. So then the injuries set in.
Yep,
things get worse on the field. So we do that story, and he gets injured right away. Mm-hmm. I remember he returned. He gets the sarcastic cheers from the fans, 70,000, like when he caught his first pass. And on Instagram, remember the quote, continue working y'all little jobs. That didn't necessarily help his cause in the court of public opinion. It all kind of kept snowballing. He distances himself from family. Caleb Holly gets cut. You know, his girlfriend, now wife at the time, Tala, he said he didn't really talk to her much. There's a distance there. So she's not really knowing what he's going through. And all that celebratory boozing kind of gives way to the self-loathing boozing. And, you know, he's drinking alone in the basement until 4 a.m., sleeping 2 hours, waking up at 6 a.m. The injuries are setting in. Everybody back home. People don't realize this, man. I didn't until I started really talking to these players. But he comes from, quote unquote, little Pakistan. Fort Myers is Dunbar area.
Oh, yeah.
Family, friends. I mean, he is like their shining light, their hope. And I think all that weighs on him. And all of a sudden, boom, his brother, Jari McMiller, who he's especially close to, gets wrapped up in this RICO investigation, as well as, like, as he said, quote, half my family, you know, family, friends, are tied up in this huge investigation. It goes to trial. Like Jari is living with him, gets taken back to Florida. It was bad. I mean, bad. Watkins paid a $1 million bond to get him out. And that was January 2017. That's right.
It really hit Everything was really
it's physical and it's mental, right?
Everything. And I mean, it's kind of why I always enjoy your story, but you touched on mental, you know, mental toughness and mental illness, all that is so real.
Well, here's a quote that he had then when we chatted. So we talked after they won the Super Bowl and he's the hero and he's kind of reflecting on this all, but he said, quote, "I don't think the world knows what athletes go through off the field. We have family, we have lives, you have good and bad in your family. Yeah. I'm like effing Jesus in my family. I was putting family before football. I wasn't focused on football. I was like, F football." I'm going to say F. "I have to figure out how I'm going to put my family in a position to be successful or not to get killed or not to get in a situation where they can go to jail." I mean, hopefully people read the story. I mean, he told so many different stories, like, you know, going out in clubs in Orlando and somebody's watching him, trailing him. Brutal. I mean, he wanted to retire. He wanted to go just leave the game, quit, done, finished. So fast forward to get out of this place is, yeah, he fell down all those rabbit holes. He's studying, he's researching religions to other dimensions, to astral realms, to their bodies, all of this stuff. And it sends him to a better mental state. So, you know, laugh at him all you want, mock him all you want, call him crazy all you want. He's not. I can tell you he's a genuinely wholesome, happy, at peace husband, son, father right now. I mean, he's kind of gone through, I think, is also what kind of makes him maybe that player that the Packers need.
I'm telling you, that hump. He loves football. Like he really loves football. I mean, he studies the game. He studies his opponents. I mean, I used to love our talks about just the players he was going against, because he talked like a scout.
Did he really?
Oh, he was into it, and his blocking was real. He was like a real blocker too. So he really. I mean, it's funny when we had those guys on visits that year. We had them all. I mean, we had Odell, Mike Evans, and Sammy all different times. Sammy looked uncomfortable a little bit. Not going to lie. So. I remember we took him out to Osteria downtown Buffalo.
Oh, great spot.
Great spot.
Nick Patillo,
one of the great restaurant. I mean, great everything. Good man. Treated us like gold. That's why we took him there. And he just didn't look comfortable to me the whole trip.
Was it the pizza cutting? Because Nick uses the scissors to cut the pizza.
I know, which is I like.
I love it. That's
that didn't get him.
Italy.
I just remember thinking, man, I didn't like Mike Evans. We did Mike Evans at the what's the steakhouse downtown? I'm drawing a blank. Real Chop famous. House? No, the real famous one. Not famous. Buffalo been Chop here House? Forever. Chop House. Sorry, Chop House. We had Mike Evans at Chop House. He was awesome. He was awesome. Just his.
Why not Mike Evans? I mean, we've talked about this draft.
You know, so that was a little bit where we just couldn't get on the coaches and the suite personnel were on the same page with him. We still would have had to go up to get him.
Well, Sammy Watkins was absolutely the more dynamic.
He was the player. Yes, he was the one we all just felt completely good enough. Like, we really weren't worried about him yet. We weren't. Yeah. We were really happy to get him. So, but
what was it like, you know, when you're with him through 2014, 2015?
Oh, he was
2016.
He was awesome. We had so many talks.
This all, like,
you
don't know what
he's one of the guys I talked to. I mean, we really talked a lot, you know, through the whole process. So, you know, you get to know those guys, and to think that, you know, I always felt for him because I'm always like, man, this is like, he's better than what, you know, he's better than what, I mean, if you look back on really what he did, he put up some numbers.
Yeah.
I mean, he's always goes down. It wasn't his fault that we traded up for him. You know, it wasn't his fault that we never had, you know, the right quarterback for him. You know what I mean? That's not his fault.
It just,
But he just Buffalo. I just don't. What do you think people think of him in Buffalo? Like, just blah. Like, they don't hate, don't love type guy.
I think it depends what level of fandom you are. I think if you're a surface level Bills fan and you don't really have a clue what he was going through or the circumstances around him, it's, oh, what a bust. Right, we should have, you know, taken Khalil Mack, which obviously, you know, take Khalil
Mack. Yeah, we talked about
everybody would 100 out of 100 times, but
we had Mario Williams at the time.
Right, right.
I mean, it just wasn't our, like, we recognized the talent. It just, yes, easy to say. Should have been the pick.
I feel like it's a pick that has aged really, really well. I mean, it's injuries. If he's healthy, if you all those receivers in that draft class, if they were all to play with the same quarterback in the same offense, he'd be right there. I mean, he's not Mike Evans. Obviously, Mike Evans is
just because of his size.
I don't think the discrepancy is really that wide.
I don't know.
Devontae Adams, obviously, in the second round is a damn steal. He had Aaron Rodgers. Like, he has this time-tested relationship with a quarterback. Like, Devontae Adams in 2015 was awful. He was terrible. He dropped everything. Jordy Nelson gets hurt. He can't step up.
Yeah, I remember those drops. But
it was another year with Aaron Rodgers, and those reps matter. And
I'm not going to lie.
He turned a corner, and he's arguably the best wide receiver in the NFL.
We talk about guys like hit and miss on guys a lot. Devontae Adams was a guy I loved in college. Like, loved him.
It was just the Fresno thing then. People couldn't get that.
And he did have drops. He did. Okay. And I thought he made too many spectacular catches that everybody has drops. I thought it would be okay. And then that first year when he was dropping the ball, I was like, oof. I was like, man, I guess I missed. But he came back. I mean, he was special. But anyway, that receiving draft
was nuts. I'll just go through here real quick. I mean, Sammy Watkins, fourth overall. And I mean, 5,000 career yards. 34 touchdowns. And then you go to Mike Evans, 9,375 touchdowns. And then you go to Odell Beckham Jr. at 12, 7,356 touchdowns. Brandon Cooks, 20. Kelvin Benjamin, 28. Carolina would love a mulligan there. And Buffalo traded for him too, right? After you guys left.
Funny how not everything always gets
right. Marquise Lee, 39, USC. You have Jordan Matthews, who's in year two of trying to be a tight end, I think. He's at 42. And I could have that wrong. Maybe he's out of the league. Then Paul Richardson.
Yeah.
Seattle takes Paul Richardson.
Yep.
45th overall. And then Devontae Adams, 53. Let's not forget Allen Robinson.
I was just going to say, wasn't Allen Robinson was in that?
Jarvis Landry, 63.
That's a big time. That's got to be one of the best receivers.
John Brown down at 91.
Yeah.
Here's a name for you. Here's a blast from the past. And if anybody can find this player, let us know, and we're going to try to find him for a story. Dree Archer, 97.
Oh, that's insane.
40.
He is the most
disappeared from the world, right?
The mystery of, yes, that is a great, great call by you. He was a mystery even going into the draft. Everything about him was a mystery.
Yeah.
It was. Whether it was always like, he always had something, but it was the return stuff was like.
All right, we're going to keep this tab open on the old Mac because we have to try to find Dree Archer. So
it's a good one. All right.
Our listeners are hearing it for the first time here. All right. So Sammy Watkins, Green Bay, a lot of injuries, a lot of mileage.
Yeah.
What's your honest assessment of where he's at and what he can give the Packers, Jim?
I think that's a good way to say it. I think if you can just be realistic about it, I think he can be a good, you know, for whatever you need to use him. I would say mostly he's trying to get down the field. he still can run enough. You know, that's his one cut routes are his best. Like when he could just plant and explode, the way his feet are now and everything. So I think he can fit though. Aaron Rodgers will like him because he will know where to be. He'll know the offense. He'll catch everything. He'll show up every day, works hard. I could see Aaron Rodgers at least trusting him a little bit.
And that's the key. He's going to want to know.
Yeah.
You're going to be in this spot.
Yes.
At this
time. Will be. He will be.
And he needs to be there.
Yep.
Can he pick, even though he's a veteran, he hasn't played with Aaron Rodgers. Like, can you pick that up this quickly? Especially, you know, OTAs. I mean, Aaron Rodgers just skipping out on OTAs. we all know how.
Okay.
No,
I think
he should have been there. For that reason. Every throw matters.
I think it's going to be okay.
You don't think?
I hope it is. I think it's going to be okay. I think you're going to be just fine.
I do love Brian Gutekunst, your old scouting buddy. He probably listened to the podcast. He probably took that advice from Jim Monas way back in March when Jim said Green Bay shouldn't be a hamster on a wheel and chase receivers. Just chase. No.
You had one.
Go defense. You had one. Yeah. Go defense. You've got a team that hasn't been able to win in an octagon in January. They just get pushed around. So maybe you're the team that does the pushing around this time. Maybe you're the team that sucker punches. And honestly, I didn't really watch Georgia football week in and week out. I can't tell you much about Quay Walker.
I can't. And Tyler, I can't tell you a lot about them as players because I didn't study those guys like that. But I didn't watch a ton of Georgia because their games really weren't that good until obviously, you know, the national stuff at the end, the four. But their defense wasn't like – it wasn't that great in those games. Like,
I mean, they were good during the season, though.
No, right? They were great, but in the big, like the Alabama, the, you know what I'm saying? Like, they weren't that, like, they were talking about this historic defense. I don't know.
All right, let's pull them up.
But I like that they did that. I like they're trying to, like, if that's who they valued, that's what I know of. I can see Gutekunst being like that. Rodgers is going to make everything okay on offense. He will.
That's what you've said. I mean, he should. He's a four-time MVP. You're paying him all that money.
No, he should.
It's a lot of money. So, yeah. Right. It should be enough.
Should we – when the season starts this year, should we do like a – should we keep track of how many times we actually talk about Mahomes, Allen, Rodgers?
I feel like we haven't talked about Mahomes a lot lately. I think it's time to ramp that up. We've got to ramp up the Mahomes talk. We really should. Well, we mentioned it when we were talking earlier today. It would be fun to kind of look back at that draft, the one that we talked about ad nauseum. But
yeah, I think that's for another.
I still think you take Patrick Mahomes there because I think he's the best player in the sport, and it's not even close. Like. And he's going to prove it this year. No Tyreek Hill. He'll be fine. I'd still take Mahomes. But now it's an argument worth having. Are you better off with what exactly happened? Trading down, handing the future regime that gift of a future first, and taking Tre'Davious White.
And then especially where we took Tre'Davious. I mean, that was late first round.
Late. You know, when he easily could have taken Zay Jones there.
still playing. Oh my gosh, can you imagine?
But I mean, it's definitely a conversation worth having. So we're not gonna have it right now, but maybe at some point if people want to hear it. If you don't want to hear it, tell us to shut the hell up and we won't talk about it. So I didn't put out the bat signal on Twitter for outlandish questions
because we're gonna get together at Hamburg
later this week and we'll do it then.
Yeah, it's good day. I can't wait to get those questions.
But before we sign off, our buddy Chris Sims did have his top 40 quarterback ranking. And as we've talked about, rankings are dumb. I hate rankings. But if there's one that I'll pay attention to, it's that. I like it because he puts in the work.
He does work.
We were co-workers at Bleacher Report. I saw the work that Chris Sims puts in. He had his own office and he literally just sits there and watches film of quarterbacks nonstop, just like you do, really. I mean, you guys are like brothers from another mother here. Like,
it's the only way to really, it's the only way to feel comfortable putting a list together, or like how we talk about when I have my rankings too. I wouldn't feel comfortable just saying anybody can, at least I have, you try to back it up with tape. Best you can.
Much better than just, you know, shooting from the hip like some of us.
Yeah. Have. Like, I've talked to you. I had that, I have a point system. I mean, it's.
Your point system is, I'll take that over QBR. Passer
it
really,
you yards. Saw it all year. The right guys were up top. It was always, it's the same, you know, it's the right guys up there. Burrow was always high. Even when, like, you know that. Remember you said, man, you always have Burrow high.
I will say this too, the way that teams navigated the quarterback waters through free agency and all the uncertainty reflected your point system. Right, like, because there were some quarterbacks you'd see on that list, like, oh, that seems a little high, that seems a little low. Like, Derek Carr was probably a little higher than maybe people thought.
Yeah.
But it's true. Like, and then he's been valued as such. You know, gets paid. Yeah.
It's going to be you know, the guy that didn't – I'm trying to remember how – I got to look. I could pull it up, see where they finished. But Russell Wilson, we're going to pay attention. It's going to be interesting to see if he – how much he has left. Because I did notice some – I thought some shakiness in his play.
A little slippage. Big Colorado Avalanche fan, Russell Wilson. I saw him.
Oh, that was, I saw that.
He's been there since Claude Lemieux, Jim. Peter Forsberg, Joe Sackett.
I saw that. That, was, that was good.
He's been there since the 90s. I mean, what can you say? When you live through that Avs, Red Wings rivalry in the 90s and all the blood that was
just
shed,
like he did, just like
as Russell Wilson did, you have to really soak in a moment like this. You really do.
Hey, beautiful sunset right now. I get Lake Erie.
Yeah, how is life over there on the other side of
I got a little sunset. I like it.
It's nice. Let me see. Yeah, well, I think that's a good spot. Let's just end on a pretty sunset. What do you say, Jim?
I think so. I think we have some good topics coming with the players and who's going to sneak up on some, not sneak up or like comeback player of the year.
I think like it's, you know, the variables, like these are
guys you don't. Yeah.
Like Sammy Watkins is a variable for the Green Bay Packers. Like if he can live up to a fraction of the expectations he came into this league with 9 years ago, I mean, they can win the Super Bowl. Like they just need something out of that passing game. They need somebody to get on the same page as Aaron Rodgers and be trustworthy. And you look past at some of those Packer teams that did win the Super Bowl, two of them, 96, 2010, Ron Wolf, Ted Thompson, both. Like there were some players on both of those teams that kind of were similar in terms of, like, you know, I think of Andre Rison in that 96 team.
I like that comparison.
You know, like he was forgotten at that point.
That's a good comparison. Still had a little something left.
Had a little something left to give him, and they needed it at the end of the year because Freeman broke his arm.
Tyler,
Robert Brooks had the knee. They were down to like Terry Mickens at some point as their top guy. Like, and
put that on comes in. That's your Twitter clip right there.
Yeah.
That's a great call.
If he can give him
that rising type, that's what the key is. That would be a realistic expectation.
All right.
Good job.
Let's end it there. Jim, good to see you, buddy. We'll do it again soon. In the flesh, Thursday. I don't want to tease our guest yet because we definitely have to double check that we're good to go there.
Yeah.
But I think we have a really fun guest.
Be good. Thursday.
All right. Thanks, everyone.